man, here we go again. Up early, feed the dog, out the door, traffic, at the office, boss in some kind of mood today, no time for lunch, annoying coworker, no time to relax, bedtime. Then we gotta do it all again? No way. Because the best way to break up the mundane every day is to play at Wild Rose Casino and Resort. Slots, tables, sports, and a whole lot of perks when you join and play with your club wild card. So, let's play. Wild Rose Casino and Resort, Clinton.
Does your financial advisor take the time to really listen to you? Is your financial strategy personalized for you and your family? Will your financial advisor be there as your life and financial situation changes? When you work with Edward Jones, they focus on what's important to you. You'll work together and use an established process to create a personalized financial strategy backed by the advice, tools, and resources to help you reach your goals. And they'll partner with you to help your strategy stay on track. Visit EdwardJones.com or stop by the office of Todd Nash in Coralville, Jeff Rudolph, or Scott McGill in Iowa City, or Travis Whitmore in North Liberty. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
This is Hawkeye Recap with Brian Hurley, part of the Hawk Fanatic Network. On this podcast, we will relive past Iowa football and basketball games and players from the past 100 plus years. To find more games and players, visit HawkeyeRecap.com.
In this podcast, I share the second part of an interview that I did for The Divine Line with Tyler Divine of Hawk Fanatic. You can go back to the last podcast I released to hear the interview about Hawkeye Recap. This one, we went into detail about his interview that he did with Dan Gable when he was in high school at City High. And so I thought that was a pretty interesting story. The second part of this podcast will be a video that I found. It was an interview with Tom Brands done by Flow Wrestling. And I'll have a link to the YouTube video so you can check that out. But he talks about his experience being an assistant coach under Gable. So I thought that was pretty interesting and tied in nicely with this podcast. So hope you enjoy.
All right, welcome to episode 17 of the Divine Line podcast featuring yours truly, Tyler Divine of HawkFanatic.com. Well, I was going to tell the Dan Gable story. I wrote for the Little Hawk for 1 year in high school. It's a long story that I won't get into, but we were doing like a day in the life issue of the Little Hawk. So we were, in the newsroom coming up with ideas of who would be an interesting person to do a day in the life of. And I was like, I could probably get Dan Gable because I lived across the street from Brian Mitchell and Jenny.
Yeah.
And the advisor was like, you can get Dan Gable. It's like, yeah, I live across the street from his daughter and his son-in-law. Like, I'll just call him and ask if I can interview Dan Gable and follow him around for a day. So of course, like, he calls my house and I'm just, Dan Gable's calling my house and I'm like 15, just nervous. And he's like, all right, I'll pick you up at 5:30 tomorrow morning. It's like, okay. Yeah. And I was like, all right. And it's the dead of winter. I mean, it's like around this time of year, it's cold. And so he picks me up. I was getting a pass from school. Like cause I was doing a school sanctioned activity or whatever. Ended up being a snow day anyway. I mean, we got like 10 inches of snow the night before and it's still snowing. He picks me up at 5:30 in the morning. I think he was early, which, of course, and this was the first year under Tom Brands. So he takes me over to Carver and the wrestlers are, doing whatever wrestlers do, sprinting around the top of Carver Hawkeye Arena,
Carrying each other up the stairs.
Yeah. And so, I follow him around, like we go to his office and all this stuff, like, we're in the wrestling room. I meet Tom Brands and we end up leaving. We go and he's like, yeah, now usually I just kind of go home and, it's been like, I feel like it's been a full day already. And it's like 9:30 in the morning. And so we go and he's like, you want to go four wheeling? I was like, on what? and he had a Chevy Trailblazer. So he just like puts it into four wheel mode and we're just driving around his property in the snow looking for wildlife. He's just like, I want to go find some, I want to go see if there's any wildlife out. And there was like some turkeys or whatever, you know? And so he shows me like all his, he's got huge glass cabinets full of these trinkets that he's gotten from all over, you know, his travels all over the world. Yeah. And, you know, the gold medal. And he's like, oh, you better get a photo of that. Like, yeah, actually I better. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah. I'm actually doing the story. I forget.
And he, so eventually I find myself, he has a sauna. I find myself in a sauna talking one-on-one with Dan Gable for a story I'm writing. And we're sitting at the very top of this thing and he keeps dumping water. I mean, he was like, I don't know, 60 something at this point, you know, and he's in better shape than me. And as a 15-year-old and he keeps dumping hot water on these rocks in there and all this stuff. And I'm like suffocating. And he's like, all right, now we're going to go do snow angels. I'm like, what? And so we go out of the sauna. He goes, dives headfirst into the snow, starts rolling around, like rubbing the snow all over his arms and stuff. And I'm like, all right. So I go jump in too and start doing snow angels next to him. And then he's like, all right, now we got to shock our bodies back and get into the hot tub. I'm like, what? What is going on here?
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that was towards the end of the day. And then we went, he has like a cabin behind his house that he built. That's his office basically.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a guest house slash his office. So if he has like family in town, they can stay there. But so he's out there and he's got like just piles of letters from fans, you know? And so he starts going through them and this is the coolest part of it. He starts going through them and he's like, oh, there's this 8-year-old. He's sick with, I don't know, with cancer maybe or something. And you know, he's a big fan of mine. I'm going to give him a call right now. And so I'm sitting there just watching him and they don't answer. So he leaves him a voicemail and he hangs up and he just turns around and looks at me and goes, how'd you like to get that on your voicemail? Like, I think I'd enjoy that.
Yeah.
And then I saw him 2 weeks, like a week after the story was printed. And of course he read it. He got his hands on it because he knew. And he was pissed because it was like, it was short. I had written this huge story about, you know, what a day in the life of Dan, and they ended up cutting like 2/3 of it. And it was like in this the bottom right corner of the centerfold of the Little Hawk. And he's like, you hardly wrote anything. I was like, no, I actually wrote three times that much. And they cut most of it. And he's like, yeah, just like grilling me about it. It was like,
do you still have that article, the full length version?
No, God, no. I don't. It was probably on a city high computer that's, you know, been replaced three times over at this point.
Yeah, but maybe.
I have the copy of the Little Hawk somewhere. I saved every story I wrote, or most of them at least. So yeah, that's pretty fun story.
The full version would be pretty cool to read too. Yeah.
I don't know what would have happened to it. I probably saved it on a school computer and just never bothered to do anything with it. So,
you know, that's another thing, like the wrestling, there's not many videos on there. I do want to add that as part of another sport. So right now I've just got football and basketball, but if I could get my hands on a bunch of those videos, then it would be, I think, worthwhile to put in a section for wrestling. And then have each match and then like build out profiles for the coaches and the players as well. And just kind of, again, just compiling a lot of that together. But like an article like that about the, you know, really getting to know the individual person and player, I think are really the fascinating ones. I haven't really been posting articles or things that are just like generic stat things, but more about like interviews with people where you get to find out their personality and stuff. And so like that would be an awesome article to have under the Dan Gable page where you list out all these, you know, obviously accomplishments and stuff, but also the videos where he's, you know, giving up an interview and being real open and honest about stuff he's done. And I think those are the most fascinating ones. You know, like I found public television did an interview with Hayden early on, and
interesting.
I thought that was really interesting, like just to hear, you know, where he was at that time and what he was thinking. And
I think people are watching old wrestling.
Really interesting ones. Yeah, I agree. I think I remember watching those on public television when they came on, and I went to the Dan Gable wrestling camp, and I was terrible, but you had to go, right? It's like, this is at the time you're like, this is an experience that you're gonna not, you don't want to regret that, of, you know, even if you're not very good, you should go through this experience. And I wasn't into wrestling, but I enjoyed following the team, you know, when they're that successful. So there's bits and pieces of wrestling that I think are out there that I'd love to piece together.
Do you need a great electrical contractor or fire and water restoration specialist? Well, contact Lance Bolin at LB Electric and LJ Construction in North Liberty. Lance has served the corridor for many years and is ready to help you. Call Lance Bolin at 319-640-1116. That's 319-640-1116. Or visit LJ_construction on Instagram for licensed and insured electrical work, fire and water restoration, and remodeling.
Hi, this is AJ Perez, managing partner at Deere Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Waukee and Iowa City. I'm so proud of our team at both locations. We are committed to one thing, giving our customers the absolute best when it comes to service and a car buying experience, the kind of experience that brings you back. What makes us different? We believe at Deere, we don't just sell cars, we help people buy them.
Fall of 92, Gable hired me right out of college. So I graduated in spring of 92. And then got a job in the fall of 92.
Did anything surprise you? Like, whoa, I wasn't ready for that. I was not expecting that. I didn't, you know, being on the other side, even though I guess you've done camps and been around, but...
It was pretty natural to me, the coaching part of it. The thing that surprised me more than anything is the energy that Gable put into every facet of his program. And that's when I realized that you have to have good help. There was a reason why he hired me, and I'll pat myself on the back. You know, Gable's not really one to give compliments, and even to this day maybe, but there was a reason why he hired me. He needed a certain quality that I had, and that's just what you do when you hire people. There's a reason why you're working at Flow as many years as you are. I mean, you have good qualities, and you're valuable to the company. And that was the case. I realized that he was so involved in every facet of the program that he had to have good people helping him. I mean, the amount of energy that he put into parents and relationships with parents, and my parents were hands-off. So I wasn't used to that. And then I didn't realize that, you know, even my roommate's parent was so involved, even living with my roommate, but not realizing necessarily because I was wrestling, I was so focused on me. But when I became a coach, all of a sudden, I mean, now he's dealing with, you know, Mr. So-and-so and behind closed doors. And, you know, I'm in my office doing work and Mr. So-and-so's in there, and then voices would rise, you know. And then Gable was a guy that didn't necessarily need advice from anybody, but he needed a sounding board. He needed to be able to vent. And he would talk around and around and around in a conversation, and he would answer himself. And I was there as a listener probably more than anything else. Even though at the time I was probably, oh, well, he really values, you know, whatever. And then the other thing I remember as a coach is, you know, I started to realize that, you know, even though I probably knew that my teammates sometimes weren't, maybe this sport wasn't as important to them as it was to me, I started to realize that you gotta work hard to keep this relevant in people's lives. And that the aspect of just the philosophy of being the best that you can be every day, and if you can march to that beat of the drum, you know what, you'll be pretty good after 200 days of that. But the key is to get and do that consistently over 400 days, mm-hmm. 500 days. So those are the two things that I probably realized the most. It wasn't really a wow moment, like, oh, do I want to do this, or man, there's a lot of work. I knew it was a lot of work. But 2 weeks is different than, you know, it being a profession, meaning 2 weeks in charge of 20 kids that you're sending home, and then the end result is you want them feeling good and being motivated when they leave and excited about the sport. And motivation's a relative term, but keep them excited so it changes their life. And that's different than, you know. I remember one time Gable gave me, I don't know why, but looking back on it, I can see why maybe this situation was a pain in his butt. I remember he said, all right, I want you to call Mr. So-and-so, and we had this guy on the hook, this recruit, and he was an Iowa kid, and I want you to talk to him about coming to the University of Iowa. And I knew what the offer was. And it was a low offer. And I remember talking to the dad, and I told him the low offer, and I don't know if Gable would talk to him yet about the offer, but it was low. And so I started with that, and it did not go well. And we ended up getting the kid. It didn't really pan out the entire to the end, but we ended up getting him, and he was a good wrestler and still is a good fan. But that was awkward, and I learned, you know, hey, when you go into this thing, first of all, you got to be a little bit prepared, and number one, and number two, you know, you got to be more about the values of how he's going to contribute, how your son is going to contribute to our program in those instances. And so many times, you know, you assume that they know that, and you can't assume that. You have to make them feel like they're going to be contributors, and they're going to be taken care of, and they're going to be helping us as much as we're going to help them, and those types of things. So, you know, and I remember another conversation I had with Gable. As a coach, I was a finalist at Oregon, myself, Zeke Jones, and Chuck Kearney. And I went out there and interviewed, and I really wanted that job. I wanted it bad. And they hired Chuck Kearney, and I remember when I got the call from the AD, I went in the back office to take it, which the back office used to have a phone like the old landline days. And Bill Moose was the AD's name, and he, you were great, blah, 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 you got a great future, but we're going a different direction type conversation. And I remember Gable creeped in there somehow or and in the vicinity, and he must have known the call was coming in. And when I left, he was really uplifting to me, and that was one of the few times where, you know, I knew that this guy is maybe not just about being a guy that's what's best for the program, but also knowing what I was after that might be, you know, competitive against him. Mm-hmm. But he really was uplifting, and hey, you're going to get a job someday. This isn't the end of the world. And, you know, plus you got a job here. It was one of those things. Yeah. And you're doing a good job. We don't need you to go anywhere. But, you know, if you went, you'd do a good job. But, you know, that's not the end of the world. And to me, it was the end of the world.
Yeah.
And I ended up being like 0 for 7
on
jobs.
Really?
I got interviewed 3 times, was 0 for 3 in the interviews, and then there was 3 or 4 other jobs where I didn't even get an interview. And I really thought that I was the best guy every time. That's how ignorant and maybe egotistical and big-headed and naive that I was, is that I really thought I was the best candidate every time. Every time. I didn't get hired at UNI twice.
Really?
I didn't get hired at Oregon. I didn't get an interview at Missouri. I didn't get an interview in Oklahoma. I didn't get an interview at Nebraska.
You applied for the Missouri job?
Yeah. Got interviewed at Iowa. You know, they hired Jim Zaleski, and at the time, that was the right hire, and I was at the time, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. I'm the best guy, but wasn't the best guy, wasn't ready. And so anyway, Gable was, he was good that way. He was good that way. He was, you know, he wasn't just the you know, the classic whip
yep.
wielder, you know, whack, whack. Quit feeling sorry for yourself, you know. It was more like, hey, I know you're down about this, you know, but it's going to come around to you. That helped me a lot.
Going off of that, maybe, you know, it's interesting that you said you weren't, you know, you wanted the job when Jim got it, but looking back, you weren't.
Actually, let's clarify something, or sure. maybe even edit it out, but Oklahoma was not part of that. I don't even think they had an opening.
I don't think you said Oklahoma.
I think I did say Oklahoma, but I think the Missouri AD went to
Yes, Castiglione.
Of course, Castiglione or whatever.
Because that's right when I was
Yeah, so in. That's what it was. I remember that AD hired Brian Smith and then left for Oklahoma, so yep. maybe I had that. But So anyway, I want to clarify that.
Sure, fair enough.
Hi, I'm Jim Street, owner of Streets Maintenance. As a licensed, insured, and bonded master plumber, I specialize in all plumbing repairs, including but not limited to water heater and sump pumps to toilet and faucet repairs and replacements. For more information about my business, I'm online at streetsmaintenance.com and Facebook, or give me a call at 400-4483, 400-4483.
Support for this podcast comes from Systems Unlimited, celebrating 50 years of providing services to people living with disabilities and mental health needs throughout East Central Iowa. A list of their services and upcoming events can be found at sui.org. That is sui.org.
If you have topics or games or opponents or players you'd like to learn about, please contact me. You can reach me through the website, HawkeyeRecap.com. You can also find me on Twitter and on Facebook. If you know other Hawkeye fans that might like hearing this podcast, if you could please let them know about it, I really appreciate it. Thanks, and go Hawks!